If you have a Bible, turn to the book of John, John chapter 9, John chapter 9. It's a blessing to know the Lord, real blessing to know the Lord, to know of His goodness, His help, His strength, all the different attributes that He has and that He shares with us. That's just such a blessing. I know in Job chapter 21, there is a group of people that says, what profit is there that we should pray unto God? Well, there's a lot of profit in it, amen. Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? And boy, we're thankful for what God's done for us. And there's another verse in Malachi chapter 3, and it says, what profit is there if we keep his ordinances? And these questions are everywhere in society. People don't serve the Lord. What good is serving the Lord? I prayed and I didn't get an answer to my prayer. What good is prayer? And I've sacrificed and I've done this. And they lose that sense of gratitude. And we're going to look at some scriptures today that want to instill that in our hearts, because the goodness of God is strengthened or received, and it makes us strong. But let's look at verse 1. John chapter 9, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, actually, neither one. It's not their fault. Jesus answered, neither at this man's sin nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Jesus is, and for a long time the lights had been out, and now the Messiah is coming. There's something between the Old Testament and the New Testament, they call it 400 silent years. And there were people that didn't know God, they knew religion, and here comes Jesus. He says, I am the light of the world. Can you imagine how everything is going to be transformed? The Bible goes on in verse 6. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And he anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay and said unto them, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sent. He went his way, therefore, and washed and came seeing. The neighbors, therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. That's a blessing. Amen. You know, to give your Christian testimony, you don't need to know a lot of verses. Just tell what happened to you. Amen. That you now see things a little more correctly. And they said unto him, how were thine eyes opened? He answered and said, a man that is called Jesus. And then he gave his story. But let's pray that God really blesses his word today, meets every need here. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for the power of it, the help of it, the comfort. And I pray that every heart would be open to it, Lord, and that you would meet every need today. May you be glorified in the church today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. It's a great story. Bob Jones Sr. used to say, when gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless. And that is very true. When you lose that sense of gratitude, you break the connection with God. Because the Bible says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. A lot of people don't understand that verse, and we'll see some things about it today. But gratitude is an emotion of the heart, excited by a favor or benefit received, a sentiment of kindness or goodwill towards a benefactor, thankfulness. But when no return can be made, you have nothing to give it back, a desire to see the benefactor prosperous and happy, that takes over. We want good for somebody who does us good, even if we don't have anything to return to them, because it's done something for our hearts. That's such a blessing. Why does gratitude die in the altar of a man's heart? I think because he forgets what God has done for him in the spiritual realm, but also because he doesn't understand what a blessing is or what a benefit is. You know, if you go to get a job, and you're filling out an application, you want to know what they're going to pay you, right? You're going to know what the benefits are. Do you have health care? Do you have this? Do you pay me for a lunch hour? Whatever it is, you look at the benefits. Well, that's what we do in the Christian realm too. We look at the benefits, amen? And it's either a good job or a bad job. This is a crummy job. You mean I got to do all of that and just make this? But in the spiritual realm, it's all a blessing, amen? And God, amen, amen. That's an amen in baby talk, amen? Just have to understand the language. In Psalm 116, verse 12, what shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? What do you answer when God asks you that question? What should I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? Now, if I recognize all the benefits and the blessings, that's what's going to grab my heart. Amen. If I think God's doing something for me. So how should I answer that? What do I do now for him? Because he's been so good to me. Paul said, who art thou, Lord? This is Acts chapter 9. And he's on the road to Damascus, and this is where he meets the Lord. He was religious, but he was lost, and he was hurting Christians and the cause of Christ. And he said, who art thou, Lord? And the Lord answered, that I'm Jesus, whom thou persecutest. The next question out of his mouth is, what do you want me to do? You're the Christ. You're the Messiah. You're the anointed one. You're the Savior of the world. All of those things that were prophesied in the Old Testament, he's the Christ. And so now, something changed in his life. And if you read about the Apostle Paul and the work that he did, it was real repentance. Psalm 68:19. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Who do the benefits benefit? Well, they benefit us. Amen? And they benefit us because they're gifts from God. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from above, and that comes from God. So he's all the time loading us with benefits. If you got up today and you counted your blessings, you just would be overwhelmed with all the blessings of God. And it's not just money, and it's not just health, and it's not just something physical. The benefits of God that he loads us with are not just that, not just things of substance in this life. There are other things, and we're going to see what that is, and I hope that that changes our minds on some things. He daily loads us with benefits, spiritual benefits. Psalm 103, verse 2, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. So you thought about some of those benefits today when you woke up. Maybe when you were pillowing your head last night, you thank God for peace, amen, rest, salvation. I mean, the list can go on. And then you get up in the morning and his mercies are new every morning. Yeah, I think I'll think about that for a while, amen. And that starts to tug at your heart. Then you come to church because obviously you've been praying for the message, amen? Amen. And you've been praying, God, speak to me today. And so he begins to speak. Isn't that a miracle? A salvation is a miracle. And if we just think about it, it's just such a wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, in our text, what went through the blind man's mind after he received his sight? He had been blind from his birth, and now he can see. What do you think was going through his mind? Maybe, well, Jesus, why'd you wait so long? How come you didn't do this 10 years ago? Or why was I born blind? Why did I have to go through all of this? And there's a good reason for that. I don't think he had regrets. I think he was pretty happy. Amen. And the reason for that was so that others could see the power of God in his life. What a blessing that is. Acts chapter 3, you know, I've turned there. But there's a lame man, and he was lame from his mother's womb. And he's begging bread outside the temple. And Peter and John come by, and he looks at them expecting to receive something, because that's where the beggars were, begging. And I think it was Peter, and he said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he, leaping, got on his feet, and he's leaping, walking, leaping, and praising God. And he's another one that didn't say, man, what took you guys so long to get here? He was thrilled with what God had done at the time. And that is so marvelous that you can't look, the only reason to look back is so that you'll appreciate what God did for you. We don't look back in regret. We don't look back in sadness. Why couldn't I have been saved at a younger age? No, how about I'm saved? Amen? And it's just a rejoicing time for us. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they were filled with wonder and amazement. Lazarus, in John chapter 11, Lazarus was a friend of our Lord, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And he had heard that he was sick, nigh unto death, and that he died. And Jesus said this. When he heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but unto the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Again, same principle. He's dying so that I'm going to raise him up, and God's going to be glorified. So Jesus makes a trip. You know the story. He's been in the grave 4 days. And Martha runs out to meet him and says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Why are you coming so late? Jesus is never late. God's never late. Amen. No matter what you go through, no matter what you pray for, no matter what your circumstances are, he's never late. He has a plan. He has a purpose for all of our lives. And so if thou had been here, my brother had not died. A little bit later, out comes Mary. And Mary says, Lord, if thou hadst been here, our brother had not died. And then Jesus said, this is for the glory of God. This is that people might see the power of God. And he resurrected him. That was an amazing story. I don't want to take a lot of time on it. But in John chapter 9 and verse 3, about the blind man that we spoke about, Jesus answered, neither had this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. So it looks like the blind man, it looks like Lazarus, it looks like the lame beggar were all pretty happy. Amen? But look what they had to go through. But God used them. They're interesting stories, and there are a number of stories like that in the Bible. But these benefits, the privilege of knowing God, the privilege of knowing the providence of God, the privilege of knowing how God connects people and works in his will, the privilege of how God can send you here to do this and meet this person here. And all the time, no matter what your trial, no matter what your heartache, in the world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And God will use us no matter what instrument, weak, base, he will take us and use us for his glory. Amen? And then we begin to see that the longer we're saved. If you're faithful to him and you're giving the word out and you're going where he wants you to go and doing what he wants you to do, you'll see miracles of God. And you'll see people saved. They will be so influenced by your testimony, by your actions, by the word that you give out. And then it makes everything wonderful. Amen? God can take Philip, who's in Samaria having a revival, and send him to the desert where the Ethiopian eunuch was coming back from Jerusalem and going home. And he never found God. And God takes this man and sends him. And he says, do you understand what you're reading? And the eunuch says, how can I except some man guide me? And so at the scripture, he began to preach unto him Jesus. The man got saved. Amen? That's a pretty good deal. Well, why do I have to give up this to do this? God has a reason. Oh, God always has a reason. Such a blessing. The benefits. In Luke chapter 23, the thief on the cross, he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily, I say unto thee, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. I'm glad that's in the Bible. I've shown that verse to a number of people that thought they were too bad to be saved. They had sinned too long. And I've shown that verse or quoted that verse to people, and they've been saved. I've seen people saved on hospital beds, their last breath. And it's a blessing that you have that truth. But again, there's only one illustration of it in the Bible, so we can't presume on it. You know, I'll wait till I go to the hospital. No, you need to get saved now, you know. But then you know the grace of God in your life. So many verses. In Revelation 21:4, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Do you believe that verse? I believe that verse. Amen. And I know that in the world you have tribulation, that there's all kinds of trouble and trials in this life. But one day, it's all going to be made right. Amen? And to believe that, that's one of the greatest blessings you will ever have. to have that solidified in your mind and your heart. Jacob, with all the troubles that he had, said, all these things are against me. Okay, that's one group. Not you guys. I'm just illustrating. Amen. All these things are against me. Paul said, all things work together for good. Amen. All these things are against me. All these things are working for good. Here's Jacob's son. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good, that he might save, as it is this day, much people alive. You meant it for evil, but God meant that for good. All things work together for good. Amen. Well, I don't like how people treat me. Treat them right. Amen. We'll see that as we get through the scripture. Don't leave. Amen. When, what'd the preacher say? If you throw a stone into a pack of dogs, it's safe to say the one that yelps the loudest is the one you hit. Amen. And so I might throw a couple stones today, but if it really hits you, that's God talking to you. 2 Corinthians. If you want to turn over there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. It's hard to understand these things without knowing what a benefit is or a blessing is. The Apostle Paul was used mightily by God. I would dream of that. I preached in a lot of different countries. I don't know, 10, 15 countries. I've been all over the United States. And every time I preach, the Word of God goes out and you just want it to work. Because it's so freeing, it's saving, it's helping. Amen. You just want the Word of God to go out. And I've seen some marvelous things, but there's been some real sacrifice to do that. Look at chapter 11, and Paul says in verse 30, if I must needs glory, I will glory in the things which concern mine infirmities. Chapter 12, verse 5. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Verse 9, God said to him, my grace is sufficient for thee, my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in mine infirmities. Verse 10, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities. And there's another list to that. There's all kinds of lists in the Bible. But he's glorying in that because God allowed Satan to touch him, the thorn in the flesh that he had, that he might not become too proud of the work that he was doing and that God could keep using him. We want God to use us, amen? We want God to use us so that he can help other people. But verse 15, and I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. He just wanted to serve the Lord, and God did use him. The benefit of being used of God and experiencing his grace is marvelous. Let me quote something from Eric Fromm. A man sits in front of a bad television program and doesn't know that he's bored. He joins the rat race of commerce, where personal worth is measured in terms of market values, and is not aware of his anxiety. Ulcers speak louder than words. Theologians and philosophers have been saying for a century that God is dead. But what we confront now is the possibility that man is dead, transformed into a thing, a producer, a consumer, an idolater of other things, and he cannot see it. Life goes on, and it's meaningless, and it's all about get all you can and can all you get. It's all about just different things of this world. And God is always saying to us, present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And then God can use you for things of much greater value. Amen? And maybe the ulcers will go away. Maybe the anxiety would go away. If you know that God is using your circumstance to show somebody his grace. Amen? To show somebody his kindness, his love, whatever it is, his power. 2 Corinthians 4:4. There are so many verses that show this truth. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's why he's called the Prince of Darkness, because he turns the light out. What about us? What don't we see? Psalm 119, verse 18. David knew God. Amen. This is Psalm 119. David knew God, but he always wanted to know God better. Paul said he had not arrived. He's pressing toward the mark. He had not already arrived. We're constantly growing and maturing. Amen. And sometimes it's our trials that help us do that. But this is what Psalm 119:18 says. Open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. That was his prayer. God, open my eyes. Here's a man that believes in God, serves God, and he's saying, open mine eyes that I might see. Paul, in writing to the church at Ephesus, Ephesians 1:18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Boy, and those things are marvelous to see that and to know it. Amen. Do you see that today? Or is it just a football game? I like football. Amen. But life is so much more than a football game. Amen. It's so much more than anything we can do. Can you see the benefit? Or do you want to see it more clearly? God's been so good to everybody here. Well, you don't know, my car's about to break down. Yeah, but God's still been good to you. Amen. Or I lost my job. God's still been good to you. Well, my health is bad. God's still been good to you. And no matter what you put in the equation, God is always good. He's a benefit. There's a story in Mark chapter 10 about blind Bartimaeus. And he was blind, I believe, from his youth. And there he is. Jesus is coming back from Jericho, and he's going down a road, and there are people on both sides. And behind those people is this blind beggar. He doesn't know who's coming, but when he finds out it's Jesus, he starts crying out. And he says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And the crowd is saying, be quiet, be quiet. He doesn't want to be troubled with you. And so he starts saying it louder. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy upon me. And Jesus stood still and had him come and says, what do you want me to do for you? And he says, Lord, that I might receive my sight. And guess what? He got his sight. But let me read something that one of the preachers wrote. He says, what wilt thou that I should do unto thee? Was the gracious inquiry of a loving Jesus to a poor longing one on the earth. Lord, that I may receive my sight, was the instant answer. So here in the same spirit and to the same compassionate and loving Lord does the psalmist pray, open thou mine eyes. And both in this and the preceding petition, deal bountifully with thy servant. We see at once who prompted the prayer. Have mercy upon me. What do you want me to do that I might receive my sight? Now, we can all see here today. Amen. But maybe some can't see spiritually. Maybe you can't see what a blessing is or what a benefit is. It's not all positive. Amen. If we think God is only good to us when everything works out, we're going to stop being thankful. You ever think about that? When you get into a circumstance and you say, what am I being punished for? What am I being judged for? Why did God let this happen to me? And all the different things, all the different thoughts that come in our mind, then we lose gratitude. And if gratitude dies on the altar of a man's heart, that man is well nigh hopeless, because that's what connects us to God. There's so much in the Bible about thanking God, loving God, appreciating God, praising God for his goodness to us. Amen. And when we get a hold of, okay, this trial is for his glory. This blindness is for his glory. This death was for his glory. What do I do with that? That God might be glorified. We bring it back to the church. Unto him be glory in the church. How do we do that? Well, let's have a prayer meeting. And in that prayer meeting, well, this is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. And sometimes the praise goes away. Amen. But we can praise God. Boy, we'd be here all day. Amen. He daily loads us with benefits. In Hebrews 5:14, the verse says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who have by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. This is a mature believer. He understands good and evil, but he understands the goodness of God. If you take another scripture and it talks about, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. So that's a baby. He's desiring milk. He has that desire. That's new convert salvation, new Christian. Amen. Remember the day you got saved? It was the greatest day of your life. I mean, when you understood you were a sinner and God was real and Jesus died for your sins and was going to forgive you of all your sins and give you a home in heaven and the assurance of that, there's no greater day. And you go in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights, as Elijah the prophet did. And you know that God is always there for you. That's something to be thankful for. Amen? And so we are thankful for that. But here when they mature, that's a newborn babe. And then we mature. And you see God's proven himself over and over and over. And you start winning people to Christ. And you start being a light. Let your light so shine that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And it just keeps going and going and going. In Mark chapter 8, beginning verse 22, Jesus came to Bethsaida. And they bring a blind man unto him and besought him to touch him. And he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands upon him, he asked if he saw aught. And he looked up the blind man and said, I see men as trees walking. I just see men as trees walking. It's a little blurry, Lord. And he put his hands again upon his eyes and made him look up, and he was restored and saw every man clearly. Sometimes we just need another touch. Amen. Well, I've been saved 10 years. What do you see? Well, I've been saved 20 years. What do you glory in? What are you so happy about today? What are you rejoicing in? Is it God? Is it his benefits? Well, he's not answering these prayers for me. God doesn't have to answer those prayers that way. God is using something in your life to bring about glory for his name. Amen? Then we can all be thankful. Proverbs 4:18, the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. But the way of the wicked is his darkness. He knoweth not at what he stumbles. So if you're on the right path, if you're going toward Jesus, it's going to get brighter and brighter. You're going to be enlightened. You're going to know. Amen. These things are good to preach, teach, and memorize and glean from. Because not everything that happens in your life is going to be a touchdown. Amen. Might be a fumble. God will use your fumble. A just man falleth 7 times, but riseth up again. God didn't leave him in the ditch, amen, but riseth up again. And there's hope for other people because there was hope for you. And the God of all comfort, who's able to comfort you in all your tribulation, is able to comfort them with the comfort wherewith you were comforted. So they can see that correlation. God's so good, amen. He doeth all things well. The way of the wicked is his darkness. If you come to the light, it'll get brighter. If you walk away from the light, it gets darker. 2 Peter 1:19. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you do well if you take heed to this word, this sure word of prophecy. And so that's the light that shines for us. There's no want of light in the scriptures. And so we live our lives in the light. Amen. Obeying the scriptures. Remember the song, sometimes the day seems long, our trials hard to bear. We're tempted to complain, to murmur, and despair. But Christ will soon appear to catch his bride away, all tears forever over in God's eternal day. Pastor, haven't you been watching the news? Don't you watch the news? Yeah, once in a while I watch the news until I get sick of it. About 5 minutes and then you turn it off, you know. But can't you see how bad it is in the world? Yes, I can. I can see that. And that correlates with the scripture. Amen? But guess what's going to happen after that? He's coming. Amen? He's coming. And what a blessing that's going to be. Whether it's a rapture in the twinkling of an eye, amen. Whether it's through death, absent from the body, present with the Lord. We believe that. And that's our hope. That's the believer's hope. It will be worth it all when we see Jesus. Life's trials will seem so small when we see Christ. One glimpse of his dear face all sorrow will erase. So bravely run the race till we see Christ. Revelation 4:11. Oh, we got plenty of time. Amen. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. All things. That's us. We were created for his pleasure. Philippians 2:13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. His good pleasure. So he's working in us to will and to do. 1 Corinthians 12:18. But now hath God set the members, every one of them in the body, the church, as it hath pleased him. Everything's pleasing him. Amen. And one day we'll please him for all eternity. What a privilege to serve God and to be grateful for it. To be grateful for it. Jesus did always those things that pleased the Father. He said, I delight to do thy will, O Lord. Not my will, but thy will be done. For this cause came I into the world, that you might be saved. And all the verses that talk about that. He delighted in that. James chapter 1. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into divers temptations. Isn't that a good one? Count it all joy, divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So he tries our faith. We grow in faith. We enjoy the Lord. We live for him. We allow him to use us. Amen. And he's pleased by that. You see the blessing to be used of God? First Peter 3:1. Here's a good verse. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. You say, my husband doesn't know God and doesn't live according to the scripture. Well, be an example. Amen. And when he sees that example in your life, that's going to be a testimony for him to be saved. We have Sarah in Genesis chapter 16, and she is dealing hardly with Hagar. That's what the Bible says. She's pretty mean to Hagar. So Hagar takes off. You got to know the story. I won't tell the whole story. Hagar takes off, and she's out in the wilderness. And an angel comes to Hagar and says this. I can't quote it, so I'll just try and find it here. And the angel of the Lord said unto her, return to thy mistress and submit thyself under her hands. Isn't that interesting? Go back and submit, because that's the right thing. That's what God wants you to do. And God's going to use that. And if you read the rest of the chapter, he does. Look at 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Great, great verses. I'm trying to put them all together so you understand exactly what we're saying today. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Let's begin reading in verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Because God can take an awful crooked stick and hit a hard lick if the stick belongs to him. Amen. God can use us no matter what we are. If we just give ourselves over to him, he wants to do that. Romans 9:20. Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to the thing that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Why do I have these infirmities? Paul said, I glory in infirmities. I glory in persecutions. I glory in all of these things. This is exactly how God made me. We all have a different makeup. We have different personalities. Amen. Some people are positive. Some people are negative. That's a hard thing to deal with. I understand that. And all the different kinds of people that are here, all the different trials that we go through, shall the thing formed say to the thing that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay to make one vessel to honor, one vessel to dishonor. Thank God that you know the Lord. Amen. In spite of who you are. When you start talking about the sin question and for all have sinned, there's people that say, well, I'm not as bad as the next guy. There's a story about a Pharisee and a publican, and you don't want to ever say that. I'm not as bad as the next guy. You might not do outward things as bad as the next guy, but we're all sinners. Every one of us, we're all sinners. And God saved us. God forgave us. Amen. And one day, we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin. No more sin. That's going to be a great day. Ephesians 4:11. And he, God, gave some churches, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, and for the edifying of the body of Christ. Today is Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Amen. Yeah, take it easy. You don't know what I'm going to say. Pastor Appreciation Sunday. Unto him be glory in the church. To me, it's People Appreciation Sunday. It's going from this way to this way. Yours might be going, maybe a couple of you, that way to this way. But we appreciate each other because we are in the body as God hath pleased. So we're exactly where we need to be, doing exactly what we need to do. Amen? And we're doing that for the glory of God. A pastor is a gift to the church. Recently, I think it's been a couple months now, but I preached a message. Maybe it was closer than that. But I talked about all the pastors you've had here. You've had a number of pastors in that short time. But they were all different. Amen? And any man that would come and fill this pulpit is going to be different than the last one. Some were older, some were younger, probably none as young as I am, but some played instruments, some don't, some teach verse by verse through the Bible, some people tell Bible stories, some are Bible teachers, and there's a whole mixture. But God did something here with that. Amen? And you need to thank God for that, because God is at work in this church. God gave a thorn in the flesh, or allowed Paul to have a thorn in the flesh. Everybody has one of those. We have thorns in the flesh. Remember when I preached on Jacob just recently? If you find somebody that doesn't walk with a limp, he won the battle against God rather than God winning the battle against him. If we walk with a limp, we are leaning on him. We are wanting him to help us go through this life. Amen? And we need that help so much. But all of your pastors have been different. Paul said in Romans 12:3, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And turn to one more scripture. This is in Isaiah. Turn to Isaiah chapter 58. Here it is. Do you want God to use you to bring another soul to heaven? Save somebody from an eternal hell? Boy, that ought to be the desire of our heart, amen. How is God going to do that? How is God doing that in your life? Is there a sacrifice involved? Is there a trial involved that somebody could see how good God is in your life, even though you're in the midst of a huge trial? God wants to use all of us for his glory. And when we start looking and seeing what God is doing in our life, some things we won't see. But when we see what he's doing, it will help us to be grateful and thank God for how he's using us for his glory. And his spirit will bear witness with our spirit. And that'll bring all of that joy. Isaiah 58. And let's begin reading in verse 12. This is possible. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord honorable, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, finding thine own pleasures, nor speaking thine own words, then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord. It's not about us. It really isn't. This Christian life is not about us. It's about God's glory. If you're here today and He saved you, you have a lot to be thankful for. And so we live for God. Amen. And one day we'll be with God for all eternity. You don't have to turn there. I want to read one more few verses in the book of Ecclesiastes, and then I'll be done. In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, it says, beginning in verse 14, there was a little city and few men within it, and there came a great king against it and besieged it and built great bulwarks against it. Now there was found in it a poor wise man, and he by his wisdom delivered the city, yet no man remembered that same poor man. Nobody remembered. Nobody remembered what he did. Life went on. But he did something marvelous. He saved the city. But God doesn't have his name there. His name's not there. It's just a wise man. Amen. And we are not in this for the glory. None of us are. We are in it for God's glory. I've tried to make that very clear today. And just if you do it for God, you'll see him work. Amen. You'll see him work. He made himself of no reputation. I'll close with an illustration. One time when I was in Mexico, and we were in a village, very, very poor village. We had a vehicle, but to get down the road was a real task because big holes and everything, and you're rocking and everything. Very, very poor. Metal siding put together. Some people were living in this very poor. And we met an older lady. She had rheumatoid arthritis, very bad. It was crippling her. And she lived in a house, a shack. And the pastor that took us there said that this lady was a blessing of his life. And we went in to meet her. And no running water, you know, they were just trying to help her out. And very, very ill. And she had a piece of cardboard nailed to one of the posts inside of her house, her shack. And she asked if she could put my name on that and pray for me. And she was as joyful as she could be. Think of that. As joyful as she could be. And she prayed for all of these pastors. This has been a long time ago. And I'm sure she's with the Lord now. But I have felt her prayers. Her prayers have helped me in the ministry. And God brought me there so that I could meet her. And she got the joy of her life in having another pastor to pray for. Amen? Sometimes people look at prayer and say, like we said in the book of Job, what profit is there if we pray unto him? That verse is in the Bible. What profit is there if we keep his commandments? That verse is in the Bible. And Jesus said, what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It's not about us. God has blessed us. And every day he's just dumping benefits and blessings on us and directing our steps. Amen. That he might be glorified. And one day all this suffering and sorrow will be over because he said it would be. Amen. We ought to be so grateful today. Let's bow our heads, please. God is so good. He's so good. Our Father, we love you. We know every good and perfect gift cometh from above. We know that. And we give you praise for that. Thank you for our salvation today. And if there's a soul here that has never received Christ, no wonder there's no delight for the things of God. I pray that you'd open our eyes. May we see clearly. May we be enlightened today that the trials are a blessing, that the sacrifice is a benefit because you'll use it for your glory. May we be like the blind man or the lame man. May we walk and leap and praise you. Thank you so much, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.